You're listening to the Starkington Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Stark of StarkingtonPost.com, and you can find the Starkington Podcast on StarkingtonPost.com, BlackBorder.com, TCGPlayer.com, MTGCast.com, and, as of this week, TJCollect.com. On this week's episode, I sit down to chat with Ethan Fleischer. After weeks of competition, Ethan outlasted over 1,000 competitors to be declared the champion of the Great Designer Search 2. For his efforts, he'll be given an internship with Wizards of the Coast to work in designing new Magic cards. Now, I can speak from experience, designing new Magic cards is an awesome job, and you'll hear Ethan explain what his biggest challenges were during the Great Designer Search, what he's looking forward to at Wizards of the Coast, and how you can snag yourself a job making Magic cards. This week's featured band is Pagliacci. You heard them to kick off the show, and you'll hear them throughout. The tracks you'll be listening to are off their EP Death Worship, and they are not for the faint of heart. The cousin duo features Shiler Leahy on percussion and Cameron Leahy on vocals. I used to battle with Cam back in our time together in Iowa City when he was cutting his teeth on the Junior Super Series and I was trying to make it onto the Pro Tour. Cam's a good guy, and if you're interested in a heavier musical sound, make sure to download their tracks free of charge from the liner notes. Now, on to the show.
First of all, Ethan, thanks for taking time to chat with us today.
You're welcome.
I guess first, let's kind of talk about some background information. When did you get started with Magic, and how did that come about?
I got started in 1993. My friend came back from a gaming convention with a bunch of beta cards, and we played with them, and I immediately realized there was something special here, and had to wait for interminable months for Unlimited to be released, and then pretty much spent all of my lunch money on Magic. I was in high school at the time.
Sure.
Whenever a new set would come out.
So you really started right at, and did you start the game from then on, or did you have a period where you kind of slowed down with playing or set the game aside for a while like most players?
Yeah, I set the game aside two or three times over the years, usually in favor of miniatures wargaming.
And what brought you back?
I guess usually it was opportunities to play with a new group would bring me back. You know, when I went to college, I met some new friends there who played, so I got some new cards at that point. And then when I moved out here to Portland, I met some other people and... So whenever an opportunity to play with a fresh group would appear, I would generally get back into it. And just in the last few years, all of my gaming group has, we kind of got tired of these six-hour marathon wargaming sessions and found Magic to be a lot more more feasible to play just because it doesn't take as much time.
Tell us about your history with game design. Is that something that you've always been interested in? Was it something that you kind of just picked up for the Great Designer Search 2? What's your background with that?
Well, as long as I've been gaming, I've been designing games, but never very seriously. It was just sort of a little side hobby. Every two or three years, I would design a little game, usually a miniatures war game. But it didn't occur to me that I had any particular talent for it until I started doing well in the designer search.
What was your reaction when you saw the announcement for the second designer search? Had you done the first one, or was this your first time being involved?
I did not participate in the first one. I wasn't playing Magic when that started. I kind of came in, started playing again right after it ended. So I was excited because I hadn't had an opportunity to participate in the first one. I was kind of kicking myself for having missed it.
How did you feel about your chances as the thing started? I mean, there's, over 1,000 entrants, just round after round after round of kind of slogging through each challenge. Did you feel confident about your chances to begin with,
No.
Or were you surprised to be as successful as you were?
I was completely shocked that I was cut into the top eight. I didn't expect that at all.
And once you got into the top eight, how did you feel about your chances? Did you start to think this is something that, you know, this is something I could pull off. This should be me.
After the first, what was it, episode two, the first Commons challenge, after I had gone through that and read the read all the judges' commentary, I started to feel fairly confident. I felt like I was on the right track at that point. But going into the top eight was pretty terrifying because my design test was none of the cards in my design test were really suitable for me to go forward with, you know, as a jumping off point to go forward. I needed to start over completely from scratch mechanically. So that was a little scary because I was like, oh, I got to come up with a whole new mechanical concept in whole cloth, and I've got 5 days to implement it. So that was the big effort there, I think, that kind of carried me through the rest of the challenge.
Do you feel like that was the toughest challenge you had throughout the course of the contest, or was there one that was even more challenging or more difficult?
No, that was the most difficult one, the first challenge. I mean, they were all difficult, but I felt like I was sufficiently successful in that first challenge that it informed my choices going forward, whereas I was not sufficiently successful with the design test, so it didn't help me any. It was just kind of like, you know, like Mark Rosewater was, you know, said something to the effect of, you know, I really like your overall idea, but you know, you need to be able to implement it in common, and none of your cards are doing that. So that was, you know, finding that solution was the hardest part, I think.
Who did you feel was your biggest competition as you went through the full week after week events? Did you feel it was down to the finalists that you came out to Seattle with, or were there other players as you went along that you felt were a lot more intimidating or threatening?
I don't think I felt. I don't know. We weren't really. It didn't really feel like a big competition. You know, it wasn't like this cutthroat thing, because it didn't quite feel like a zero-sum game. I mean, obviously, only one of us could get the big internship at the end, but you saw what happened at the end of the first designer search. You know, like four different people ended up with jobs at Wizards. So it didn't feel like quite so much of a direct competition. I certainly feel like the top two, the other two who made it to Wizards with me were the biggest competition for me, though, and I certainly admired their work during the competition, and especially up there at Wizards. I thought that Scott Van Essen handled himself very well, and I was really sweating at the end there.
Sure, what was waiting for that final announcement like? They didn't really detail for the public what the process was for. You know, that for you to be selected at the end, did you guys have to wait in a room for an envelope to be read, or what was that situation like?
What happened was after we did some dinner and drafting in the evening, and then we all went back to our hotel rooms and tried to sleep. we were completely exhausted at this point, so we did get some sleep, and then we all went down to the Wizard's office the next morning. And Mark Rosewater met us there in the lobby, and then he took us into a conference room one at a time and told us whether we had won or not, and I had to wait till last, and I could barely believe it, even though I'd seen the other two come out with not exactly that sparkle of victory in their eyes. I still couldn't quite believe that I'd won.
Has that worn off yet? Do you still feel like, you know, you're kind of waking up to a dream, or has it finally sunk in that you were successful?
Well, I mean, it sunk in, but it was definitely the whole contest was one of the most bizarre experiences of my life, I have to say.
Now that you've, you know, had some time to kind of to let it sink in and look back on it, are you looking forward to finally being in the office? Have you started making plans to transition? You know, you're not that far from Seattle. You live in Portland, Oregon, is that right?
That's right.
Have you started transitioning to moving to Seattle and getting ready for the actual internship itself?
Yep. I've made arrangements for some temporary housing there, and I have a date set. I'm going to wait for the official announcement to reveal the date, but
sure,
moving
sure.
up there soon. And and then my wife and my three boys will move up a few months later into we'll rent a house or something.
Now, last time at the first great designer search, as you said, there were a number of people who were given positions as a result of it, and many of them are still at the company. This time, both you and Sean Main were given positions. So not all three of you, but two-thirds of the three finalists. A lot of the finalists last time wound up staying with Wizards full-time. Is that something that you're hoping works out for you? Do you also hope to be there full-time at the end of your internship?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, my visit there looked like an amazing place to work. And it's the kind of work that I would like to do. I mean, I enjoy making things. I'm a creative individual, and working there looks like I could create things, and it looks like I could have a lot of fun there.
Now, you mentioned the visit to Wizards. Tell us, for folks listening at home who've never had the opportunity to be in the office, tell us what that experience was like.
Well, I mean, physically, it's just an office building with cubicles and meeting rooms and stuff. There are various gamer accoutrements around. There's statues of creatures from Magic cards, and R2-D2's in one of the conference rooms, and there are paintings on the wall from Magic card art, and product is everywhere, just scattered around. There are many fortified emplacements with Nerf machine guns, but overall, the thing that impressed me was the energy there. It just seemed like everybody was really intent on, really excited about their work, and really there was a lot of buzzing around. It seemed like this hive of activity. You go into some places and everyone's just kind of sitting around, punching the clock or whatever, but I really thought that people had a lot of exciting work to do there.
Now, you met a lot of the people who make the game at Wizards. Who are some of your favorite people to actually get a chance to finally meet?
I met so many people. I really liked meeting Aaron Forsyth. He was a hoot. And Mark Rosewater was great to meet. Alexis Jansen was really interesting. Let me think. And I liked meeting with Brady Dommermuth. I believe he's the creative director.
That's correct.
It was interesting to get his perspective on Magic intellectual property issues and how they approach the fantasy genre and what sorts of things the fans react favorably to and what sorts of things that they don't seem to like so much. It was eye-opening.
Now, in your essays and things with the actual contest, you describe yourself a little bit as a hobby gamer. Has your experience with Magic been more, I guess, on the casual side, or have you been a competitive player as well?
I'm entirely a casual player. I don't have a DCI number. But that isn't to say that I don't appreciate some organization. My friends and I, in my gaming group here in Portland, do a regular draft league and occasionally have constructed leagues also. So we do have our own version of organized play. It's just organized by us.
Do you have fears at all that will impact your abilities as a designer? Or do you look at that as kind of a bonus, and that competitive play is better suited to developers more so than designers?
I feel like it's an advantage for me. I think that experience with competitive play is really important for a developer, but not as important for a designer. I think that my casual play gives me a certain amount of insight into what the majority of Magic players are interested in. I don't think that the majority of Magic players play competitively. I think that it's probably mostly kitchen table magic. And I mean, I know I don't claim to have some sort of special insight into that, but it's I just think I approach it from a different angle than somebody who's, you know, a pro player would. And I think that having a diversity of viewpoints is useful in a job like this.
What is one thing that you that surprised yourself about the contest that you learned about yourself or about the design process in general as you went through each step?
I don't really think I learned very much about myself, to be honest, aside from the fact that I seem to be able to have a good handle on what makes a magic set tick. I'd never really taken one apart and tried to put it back together, you know, but as an artist, I do that sometimes. I'll take apart a painting and try to copy it or cover a song or something. And I think the process for the challenges was kind of similar. When I'm assigned a booster pack, well, let's start with the first challenge, the commons. You know, I was assigned all the green commons from my set. So I had to find similar sets to kind of what I had in mind for Epilith, which was the name of the set that I was designing. You know, find similar sets and then find out, you know, what are the common factors, what are the common denominators between the commons in these different sets, and sort of try to take those apart and then put them back together and put my own, you know, make my own changes to it. But it has to feel like magic, and it has to work like magic, especially in limited, where commons are the most important thing in limited. So it was similar to covering a song a certain way. You're taking this song, you're breaking it down to the point where you can understand how it was put together originally, and then you're putting your own spin on it.
Do you have hopes of using some of the designs that you came up with throughout the process while you're actually at Wizards, or do you feel that you'll have to start over from scratch and kind of abandon all the work that you've done so far?
I don't have any particular ambition to use the designs that I created during the challenge. I think that they were designed for a specific setting in a specific set. And if in the future I'm to design an evolution theme set, then I could certainly see myself using some of the cards that I designed, or, you know, some mechanics that I designed. But I don't feel like a burning urge to try to incorporate them into a set where they wouldn't be appropriate.
Sure.
I don't feel like the effort was wasted, but I think that it's just raw material, you know? I mean, how many cards get designed by Mark Rosewater that actually see print? Like 1% maybe? So I'm not worried about that. I don't think they go to waste or something. You know, if they're good cards, then I put them aside, and if a situation comes up where I need something like that, then I can use it. But I'm not gonna cry if they never see print.
What's something that you're most looking forward to about the internship?
I'm just looking forward to getting in there and trying to see if I can improve magic in my own way. I have some ideas for some introductory products that may or may not be of interest to Wizards, and I'm just kind of hoping I can get in there and, you know, add my own spin to it, and I hope the players will like it.
How has feedback and reaction to you winning been so far? Have people been relatively positive and supportive, or were people surprised to see you beat out Sean and Scott?
I think the feedback has been pretty positive for the most part. I think a lot of people were rooting for me. I've had all kinds of people I barely know congratulating me, and I haven't heard a lot of complaints or anything. know, there were some people who were rooting for the other guys, but they were respectful, and you know, nobody blasted me on the internet for the most part.
What advice or suggestions do you have for people who are kind of in your position, say 6 months ago, who are starting on the Great Designer Search 3 or just interested in how to wind up working at Wizards of the Coast on design and the process of making magic? What words would you have for them?
My advice for people who are going into GDS 3 sometime in the future is don't put your ego on the line with your designs. Don't get upset if the judges critique your designs. You need to listen to them because they know what they're talking about. And try to incorporate their criticisms into your next entry. That's absolutely the secret of my success here, as I listen to the judges, particularly Mark Rosewater, since he has sort of the broad conceptual view of where the set should be going. Ken Nagel was great for sort of evaluating whether cards would be fun, and then Mark Rosewater was the one who could kind of see, you know, had a better idea of where the overall set was moving. And so, yeah, listen to the judges. Don't get mad if they don't like your cards, and incorporate their suggestions into your next entry.
Excellent advice. And I guess for Great Designer Search 3, that may mean listening to your criticisms.
Yeah, it sounds likely that since all of the previous GDS 1 people were judges at one time or another during GDS 2, I guess as long as I'm still with the company, I'll probably end up judging for GDS 3.
Hopefully. Well, Ethan, I'm looking forward to seeing the design work that you do at Wizards, as I'm sure many of our listeners are. And I wish you the best of luck with your move to Seattle.
Thanks very much.
That's going to do it for us for this week. I'd like to thank Ethan Fleischer, our guest, for taking the time to chat with us, and Pagliacci for being our featured band of the week. To find out how you can become the featured band of the week, or just to say hi, give us your feedback on the show, or talk about possible stories, contact us through the liner notes for the show or by emailing BillTriesAgain@hotmail.com. Being a featured band is free, and we're always looking to highlight more bands with magic backgrounds. I'm your host, Bill Stark of TheStarkingtonPost.com, thanking you for listening to the Starkington Podcast and encouraging you to check us out at www.TheStarkingtonPost.com. Until next time. Maybe tomorrow I'll come after all.
through the sun.